thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, myself, Wally. What's going on, folks?
What's happening? We need to take it back to street ball in real life right now.
What you mean by that?
What was the saying growing up in street ball? Stop crying.
Yeah.
These dudes.
You talking about them playing ball?
These dudes in the NBA right now, every possession, they complain about a call.
You talking about like the NBA playoffs?
Yes.
You talking about James Harden? You talking about Chris Paul?
No, I'm not talking about Chris Paul and James Harden. Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum did the same thing.
They did last night. They were complaining last night. I fell asleep. I love watching Dame, but I fell asleep.
The only series you don't see a bunch of complaints, Toronto, Philly. Maybe because a bunch of quiet guys on the court outside of Embiid.
Did you see Kawhi's smile? That little scary smile?
Like, nah, I didn't.
They did like a frame by frame. It was like a slow motion smile. The dude looked creepy as I don't know what.
I didn't see that. I didn't see that. But what I did see was a video posted on Twitter of James Harden in the three-point contest and James Harden shooting threes when he's wide open. He doesn't kick his legs out.
No.
Whenever someone's in front of him, he does. And I picked Houston to go to the finals against Boston. I'm not biased at all, but I'm just saying.
I just want folks to play basketball without trying to get fouled. Just be real.
In street ball.
You don't try to get fouled playing street ball.
No. It's crazy.
You shoot a three, pull-up three on somebody and try to actually shoot a pull-up three.
Yeah, I mean, that part of the game's it's starting to make it a little bit harder to watch.
Yeah, that's
what I'm talking about.
Because you know, even then, like, okay, if you don't get fouled, what do you end up seeing? You end up seeing 5-on-4 because the player who shot the ball is standing there complaining with the ref, crying to the ref, gesturing to the ref. Just get back on defense, man. When it's a timeout, then go talk to the ref.
Also, the biased referees.
No, you definitely have them.
Utah, Rudy Gobert said it. Utah did the same exact thing, and they were getting caught left and right.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden lived at the line in that series. But anyway, you know, I'm just talking about a product that I already think is not as good as college basketball anyway. But I still like the NBA.
All right, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition of pregame.
Adam from the Burgundy and Gold Report and Paul, who is a contributor to the Burgundy and Gold Report, will join us to discuss the Washington Redskins draft selections. At 8:20, we'll chat about the NBA playoffs. At 8:30, WNST's Washington Capitals insider Ed Frankovic will join the show to talk about the Caps being eliminated by the Carolina Hurricanes in the Stanley Cup playoffs. At 8:40,
Game 7 was good.
It was lit, man. Watched it. At 8:40, we'll examine the other NFL drafts. Finally, at 8:50, host of the Quarterly Report, Armand Lee, will join the show to talk about the middleweight unification championship fight between Canelo Alvarez and Daniel Jacobs. The fight goes down this Saturday, Cinco de Mayo. You down with that, Will T? Who you got winning that fight real quick? That's your man. We'll talk about
Canelo.
That.
Can we go overtime with Armand Lee?
Sure, we can do that.
Because we need to talk Spence Crawford, too.
All right, we can do that.
And what Spence said recently.
All right, we can definitely do that.
You talking about a fight that's not
right now. Right now, we have Adam from the Burgundy and Gold Report, and we also have Paul, who is a contributor to the Burgundy and Gold Report. What's up, folks?
Hey, what's up? What's up, guys?
What's up?
Not much, man.
Urban Sports Team.
What's going on?
Yo, Paul, what's up, man? How you doing tonight, bro?
We didn't get in the proper introduction.
What's the proper introduction, right?
Burgundy and Gold. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That music. I don't have that right now.
I'm kind of messing up right now.
I know you.
That's all right, man. If you have some Nas or some Dell, I'm cool with that, too.
Some Nas? See, you got some Nas? I wish I
need
some Nas.
All I need is one mic, baby. It's three mics here.
Finally got them all working, too, right?
We got to take it back to Illmatic. We got to put on this.
Stillmatic's my thing. It's my jam. All right, so the highlight of the draft was the Skins drafting Dwayne Haskins with the 15th pick.
Was it really?
And trading back to the tape. Damn, Will, let me finish my intro, bro. and trading back in the first round to get edge rusher Montez Sweat. How would you assess those two draft picks?
The fact that he fell onto our lap, that was perfect to me because, you know, like regardless of where I had him on my board, you know this, Will, I had him on my board. And even though I still think, you know, he needs time to be his full potential, I have no doubt that he's going to come. If he can come in, this is going to be a Cleveland situation with Baker Mayfield, you know what I mean, Tyrod Taylor. The worst I can see is 3-4 games, and he's going to be in. As far as Montez Sweat, that's where the Doug Williams and Smith and all of them came in, because that was a savvy move. Giving up a second next year to get Montez Sweat after the heart condition, it was ruled, you know, inaccurate. I love that move. He's honestly, Haskins to me is excited for the future. Sweat is, I'm excited this year. This defense, I got hyped in the past, but I was on the Kool-Aid in the past. Ever since I've been writing the Burgundy and Gold Report, I've been a little more mellow with it.
Mm-hmm.
But this defense is going to be ridiculous. And I don't think they're done. I see a second wave of free agents coming, and Carl Joseph from the Raiders looks like prime to get released. That would be someone I'd like to pair with Landon Collins.
So, Paul, what's your thought, Paul? Sorry.
My thought is, going to piggyback off Adam, when they draft Haskins, and Adam knows this, I like Haskins. Great pick. It shouldn't be a hard transition for him, because Kevin O'Connell and his former offensive coordinator, head coach of Ohio State, Ryan Day, they have similar concepts to my belief. So I feel like he should come in day one start.
Oh, wow.
I was glad because we didn't pick Daniel Jones. And Adam, I'm not like Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones.
Daniel, I know, right?
The guy from Duke that's not Zion, right?
So they played New York, and I believe they played New York.
They did play New York. And then, it is true. They played, and they hyped Daniel Jones up and made Edelman kick him at six. So, no, I'm glad we didn't do it. When we got Sweat, it was like, okay, now the draft is started for me, because I was like, I was looking at a TV screen. I was tweeting out, happy we got Haskins. Next thing you know, Redskins on the clock at 26. I was like, okay, now it's getting real. So when they got the edge rusher and the quarterback, I was like, okay, we're making moves here. We're making moves.
Yeah.
We're making real amazing moves right now.
All right, guys, I want to get your take on something. I read reports that the room was split in terms of if the Redskins should draft Haskins, and it concerns me a bit that it's an RG3 type of situation. Remember, Shanahan, from all reports, wanted Tannehill. In this case, I was hearing that Haskins was not on the top of Gruden's list, but ownership stepped in and said, no, we got to take this guy. So is that a concern moving forward that it could be a repeat of Robert Griffin?
This is how I see it. Honestly, even if the room was split, the bottom line is what happened. To me, it's like, everyone has their opinion. Listen, like, if you've ever read or anything, any books about the war room, the draft, there's not a lot out there that are all in unison. A lot of them are divided, heavily divided. I do think Snyder wanted Haskins, and okay, big deal. So did I'm sure a bunch of other teams would have taken him in the first round. People think he would have slipped like Locke. You know, me and Paul know Locke was our favorite, but Haskins had to Ohio State. You know, when you're on the map like that, and you're on TV like that, and to put up those kind of stats, you know, some team would have grabbed him. So, you know, all around, the way that they pulled everything off to me was just, it was awesome, you know. So regardless of how it happened, the final result is what mattered, because when they came into day two and three, they killed it. That's when they really killed the draft. And, you know, regardless who is involved, to me, they made the right move.
Well,
exactly.
Gruden, when he...
I've been watching Cole Holcomb all day.
Uh-huh.
He's ridiculous. This guy is going to be a star.
When Gruden did an interview a few months back, he said that he felt like Locke was ready to step in and play in the NFL right now. Haskins would be more of a project, may take another year or a year to prepare. So that's where I think a lot of the media came up with this. Well, I don't think this was Gruden's guy, and Gruden only has 1 year left. He's not happy about it, but we'll see.
I think Kevin O'Connell would be the new coach. Gruden,
yeah, we were saying that. Me and you have been saying that for a while, Paul.
McConnell?
Like, soon as they lost McVay, it was kind of obvious what they're doing with O'Connell. It's not that O'Connell's not good. He's been around, but I think they found another young, you know, protege, you know, that they can bring up, and I think this is playoff or bust. If it doesn't make the, they're hoping for a wild card or, you know, a 10 win.
Mm-hmm.
With O'Connell there, he's just waiting. If it doesn't happen this year, it may be a good to next year, depending on what happens. But it depends how fast the offense can get going.
So in the third round, the Skins ended up drafting a wide receiver, Terry McLaurin from Ohio State. He's, you know, ran a 4.3 in the 40-yard dash. How do you think he's going to help this team?
Oh, he's a baller, man. This guy, and it's, you know, I've been hearing stuff. on like Twitter, like the Ryan Grant thing. Okay, Ryan Grant will be in the blocking. Maybe Ryan Grant that he knows the route tree and can do everything. But this guy is no Ryan Grant, man. Watch the film. And Cam, the reason Campbell had these overblown stats is because of McLaurin. Most of McLaurin's yards were on deep passes. Campbell, he had a great yard to carry, but he was catching 5-yard screens and taking it to the house or 50 yards because McLaurin half the time was taking guys' heads off on runs. So to me, I think Gruden got his guy in the third round that should, even Mel Kiper, which I usually am not on board with, had him going in the first round. So that's another steal.
So, yeah, McLaurin to me real quick basically is what we don't have. And I say this over and over again. He's a guy that can take a curl route and go 75 yards. Point blank. We don't have that in the offense.
So another guy that everybody loves is obviously Bryce Love. They got him in the fourth round with their first fourth round pick. He's out of Stanford running back. He was big. He was big time when he was healthy in Stanford, and he had to deal with the ACL injury last season. Could this be the steal of the draft for the Washington Redskins?
2017 Heisman finalist. That's another steal if you ask me. You know what I mean? Like if he can come back 70%, you know, we'll be lucky. He's a move for 2020. So yeah, that was a good move. Honestly, there were some tight ends on the board though. You know, there was definitely some tight ends. You know, maybe some tackles on the board, but that again, it's value. When you start to get into day two, day three, it's value, best player available. And I think they continue to do it all the way through the draft.
Yeah, and like I told you before, Adam, we discussed this. I think he's replacing Chris Thompson after 2019.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Chris, he's playing 8-9 games a year at this point. You know, they're not going to re-sign. This is a move for the future for sure.
So Adam and Paul, you think, so say Chris Thompson does have a healthy season, do you still think he's replacing Chris Thompson?
Yeah.
No, because the contract is up. But I think his contract is up at the 2019, and we've seen it before. We called it last year when Quinn got drafted. Crowder, they weren't going to resign Crowder. So I think
they'll let him walk.
Good point.
Yeah, they're going to let him walk.
This is the Redskins' way, guys. You got it. It's compensatory pick. You know what I mean? Like, this is what,
good point.
What New England does. You know, they're taking a little bit from here, a little bit from there. And listen, I don't care. At this point, whatever they say about Bruce Allen, okay, but I'm focused on this year, not looking back. And so far, they're making all the right moves. In free agency, Landon Collins, Snyder move or not, that was savvy.
So say, I'm going back to the quarterback Haskins. So say this is a fair competition, a quarterback competition between Haskins, McCoy, and also Case Keenum. Who do you think wins that? Who wins that job? If it's a fair competition.
Good question.
Fair competition. Honestly, Haskins should beat out Keenum. He really should. I would hope so.
Yeah.
You know, Keenum is good backup. That's what he is. So he should win the job. But the question is, Gruden is all about his playbook. Is he going to push the playbook, or is he going to work the playbook around him? And I think if he's smart in this day and then NFL, you work around the player. If you're going to get drafted in the first round, you want them to be your franchise quarterback. Gruden right now is on borrowed time. Haskins is here for a while. So, a smart move would be to work, there's going to be, if you look at the tape, he ran zone reads. So, all these people say he can't run. It's not about running. Zone reads is not about how fast you are. Mm-hmm. It's about deception. It's about, leading to, play action. So I definitely think Haskins can pull this off.
Yeah, he can. And definitely one thing people have been saying that he can't do is improvise while the original play breaks down. Well, you see throughout the season that he made plays in the Big Ten Championship game. One play in particular, he made 3-4 guys miss, rolled to his right, hit McLaurin in the back of the end zone. So he's progressing well, and like you said, it was a fair competition. Haskins should win because he basically has—he's an arm talent. He'll make more plays on talent alone than the other two guys will.
Well, let me ask you guys
Paul,
this:
though, like, also,
if you alluded, like you said, Jay Gruden's on borrowed time. He has 1 year left. Why not go with a veteran who can execute your playbook better than a guy that you brought in for the first round? I think that you spent the first round pick. I think we know that the NFL is a copycat league, and we saw the success of Patrick Mahomes, who sat for 1 year. Why wouldn't this organization take it upon themselves to say, okay, we think he's good. We know he's going to be our guy for the future. Let's sit him 1 year. We have two veteran quarterbacks that are in front of him.
Well, can I answer this real quick?
No.
I just want to say you can look at Dallas.
The Philadelphia game.
Philadelphia game
at the end of the season. There's your answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's your answer.
Because when you had a better quarterback.
That was the most embarrassing. And you know what? I hate to say it. The last two games I've been to at Philadelphia, we won one and we lost one at FedEx.
Mm-hmm.
But I have never seen anything like that. That, as a fan, as an owner, that was embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do whatever he can to make sure that's not going to happen again as far as Dan Snyder, because that was, I think, the low for this organization in the past. That's probably existence, in my opinion.
I just want to say you also see in the division the success of a guy like Dak Prescott in his first year, and another Ohio State alum and Ezekiel Elliott, how they had awesome rookie seasons, and hopefully Haskins can duplicate that while energizing a fan base that wasn't showing up to games last year. Birds, you still there?
What's that? Sorry, what's that?
Did you get it?
I lost you. I can hear you.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I can hear you.
Well, I was just saying that the Cowboys a few years back, they had a rookie running back and a rookie quarterback, which is essentially what the Redskins could look like this season. And they had success. I feel like that's important to re-energize this fan base, which, like I said, wasn't showing up to games last season.
Right. You know, that's the thing.
Go ahead, Adam.
Go ahead.
No, like I was saying, they need to re-energize the fan base. Also, give us some hope. I mean, I'll be honest. I've seen the Case Keenum movie before. It doesn't end up.
Yeah.
Why start him?
Yeah. That's the thing. You know, like, if you're gonna say an open competition, it's not gonna be an open competition. You're gonna see them stand next to each other. It's not just about height. You're gonna see it's gonna be a joke. You know, it's gonna be a joke. And Redskins fans are gonna be like, "Come on, Jay, are we really supposed to believe that this is gonna be a competition?" So I don't think it will. So if Keenum starts, it's because the decision's made. Mm-hmm. If Haskins gets it, it's because he won the job.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. We have Adam from the Burgundy and Gold Report, and we also have Paul, a contributor to the Burgundy and Gold Report. So from the picks that we haven't mentioned tonight, which rookies have a good opportunity to start and make an impact?
Calvin Harmon, receiver out of North Carolina, NC State.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So what? Best receiver, more quick than fast,
mm-hmm.
and he blocks. Jesus, I watched about three or four of his games. He blocks like there's no tomorrow. And that's what I was like, okay, he can start.
Yeah. As far as starters, to me, like, there's a lot of depth for this game, but McLaurin's going to start. McLaurin, they're going to get him in regardless what happens with Richardson. I don't think Dotson's going to win the job. So whoever's going to be over on the X or whatever. Yeah. I don't think he's going to win. I'm not saying he's going to have a bad season,
mm-hmm.
but I'm saying he's not going to win the job, because I'm going to tell you, because between Cam Sims, mm-hmm. McLaurin, and the new guy that we got, Harmon, I think these guys are better route runners, believe it or not. Like, he doesn't do much. If you look at the tape, it's like he knows go route, he knows the inside slant. You know, he's not really deceptive. These guys, that's one thing if you notice the draft pattern. They've started drafting guys that know the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, McLuhan, he was more about just, that's what I'm realizing about Scott McLuhan. He really just goes for height and, you know, muscle and, you know, time speed. But the Redskins really looked at, like, who was first team all division, who won this award, who was Heisman finalist. They really went for guys that dropped for whatever reason but have had major contributions in college. You know, Haskins the 1 year, okay, because he's the first year, you know, rookie, but the rest of them, I think they showed a pattern of getting players that had success, you know, which is what I wrote in my article. And I think whatever happens right now, we have some, I think all of these guys are going to make the 53.
So Adam and Paul,
we have four starters.
Mm-hmm.
So we have four starters out of the draft class. Mm-hmm. We have four starters.
I'm with you on that. So Adam, Paul, before I let you guys go, before I let you guys go, I want Adam to speak about the blog you just posted, and Paul, and also I want both of y'all to talk about your social media handles and what you got going on.
All right, today came out the post draft edition, Washington's historic draft, and basically, as I've spoken on your show before about the boots on the ground, so we finished that with Dana Sparkman. He was kind enough to go down there and, you know, post pictures, mm-hmm. you know, share tweets, cool things by the stage. You know, it was a really cool event. But you know, you can go to the Burgundy and Gold Report .wordpress.com for this article and others. And some big things in the works right now. Should be dropping a website in the near future. So spending a lot of time working on that, and you know, just already going to start watching a film for the next rookie class coming in and do this simultaneously. So
awesome.
Going to be the busy time's not going to stop.
That's what I'm talking about, Paul.
Yeah. Paul P. Nice at PDC1010. Well, I won't be doing that. I'm diving into the undrafted free agents that we signed.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be looking at film on much film as I can on all of them. I already looked at film on Tiny Okiki, tackle, left tackle of Tennessee State. And let me tell you something. Y'all going to be quite surprised. 6'6", 315.
Support that one, man. I started watching film on that one today.
And I think he's going to make the 53-man roster.
Oh, I love it.
Adam will tell you, I was right about Cam since last year. This is what I think I'll be right about this year.
Okay.
That's why he's on the show, Wally. Me and him, that's what we talk. We just talk football all the time.
That's what I love to hear. All right, so I'm going to get you guys on. I mean, sometime during the offseason, well, training camp and OTAs and whatnot, and I want to, you know, get the word on some of these undrafted free agents.
Definitely.
All right.
J.J. McIntosh,
Washington. All right. All right, guys.
Thanks
again. We appreciate
Thank
you guys
you
being
much.
On. No problem.
No problem.
HTTR, bro.
HTTR. No problem. You're welcome. Burgundy and gold.
All right.
That's what I'm talking about.
See, man, you hear this Redskin Nation is excited. I heard the term historic just drop. Historic.
It's a historic. It's a historic draft. You're darn right. You're darn right.
Oh, man. Training camp is going to be packed this year.
We in there, though, right?
With Babyface Haskins, who is very, very arrogant. But I got to love it because you need somebody that's going to show that emotion.
He already has his own branding team and everything. What does that
remind
you of?
Everybody does. Don't do that. You know, a lot of folks have that. Don't do that.
What does that remind you
of? There go the antagonist. All right. The NBA playoffs have been lit. We'll discuss that after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
See what I just did right there. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T,
cut it off.
Ray, and Will H-T-T-I. And myself, Wally.
Dog, that's a little too biased for me, bro.
Dog, it's a DMV. It's Washington.
NBA playoffs.
All right,
let's do this.
The NBA playoffs have been entertaining.
He fouled me.
Have been very entertaining. Damian Lillard closing out the Thunders. The Nets. Sixers series. You know, just to name a few. Which one of the first round series were you more entertained with? We haven't been on the show for a minute.
San Antonio and Denver.
That was the most entertaining?
Yeah. Really?
San Antonio
Seven-game series. Close games. Highly contested. Highly contested games. If you just like watching flow of basketball game, watch this, you know, Popovich making different defensive coverages.
Uh-oh.
I enjoyed it.
Dr. James Naismith over here, man. A basketball purist. You like seeing pick and roll.
The in-depth analysis of basketball 101.
Fundamentally sound basketball.
You know,
dude, the Blazers and Thunder was clearly entertaining.
Bro,
the trash talk.
Trash talk. That was 1990s basketball.
They ain't waving bye-bye. Come on, dude.
Rocking the baby, whatever.
This is from two guys who watched the NFL draft. You thought that was entertaining?
Yes.
Will, you don't stay up to watch Denver Nuggets games. I know you don't.
Yes, I do.
You probably watch NBA TV the next day to watch the
Dame time, bro.
I stayed up and watched
Dame time, bro. Dame time.
Hey,
even
the, Dennis Schroeder the, mocked
or even,
him.
Or even, yeah, I know.
And
or
pissed
even
him
the,
off.
Or even
pissed
the Sixers Nets joint, like where like folks were like fouling each other left
that,
and right hard and
to
talking
me,
trash.
I thought it was the most entertaining
Yo,
series to watch.
You got
to
read the Chris Haynes article about how he had dinner
Dame.
At Dame's house.
I know, I saw
you
that.
Saw
I read that.
And Dame
joint.
Was
yeah.
like, I don't want y'all to come to game four. I want you to come to game five when I send their asses home. Hey, you it don't
Dame
get no
was
better
real,
than that.
Bro.
Hey,
Dame was so real.
He said Westbrook always act like he mad at everybody, so I give him that same energy. So bye.
Bye.
Like, he carried it. And I'm a Westbrook guy. But he carried
See,
it.
To me, after that series, I'm like, Dame's been in Westbrook. Like, Dame's been in that band.
Nah, Westbrook, I mean, Westbrook has gotten the best of him. Westbrook jump shot just hasn't been there
you
lately.
You think you're being a prisoner of the moment?
No, I've always been a Dame. I've always been a Dame fan.
Yeah, yeah, he is. He is, though, Will.
Yeah.
He is.
Who
is?
I'm just asking.
No, I, wasn't
no, no, I know you're a Dame fan, but you can't say he's better than Westbrook.
I don't know. I believe. I'm going to tell you why. When LaMarcus Aldridge left Portland, everybody said, like, that team was going to be garbage. When he left, you know, it was
same
true.
Thing when KD left. Okay,
no, to so. Say no, they said this team was going to be a lot. No one said there was going to be a lottery pick. They said when LaMarcus left Portland, they were a lottery team. Everyone said that. Dame was carrying that team to the postseason. Dame didn't need nobody. Dame has been Dame.
Nah, you underestimating CJ. But the thing, the
no,
thing,
I like CJ too. Don't get twisted. I like
thing
CJ
about
too.
The only thing about Dame that I can't put him ahead of Westbrook for me personally,
yeah.
is that he used a lot of picks. Westbrook can go right at you one-on-one. Dame, to me, he has...
I think Dame's psychology of basketball is...
Dame uses a lot of picks.
Westbrook goes at you one-on-one going downhill.
Downhill, exactly. I think Dame...
Like, when it comes to, like, Dame, like, off of just isolation, he can get to the bucket easy and create opportunities for other people easier. In my
I don't know. We talking about a walking triple double who just
who shoots at a low shooting percentage for you
well,
for a while.
Those are empty stats.
For a while.
I
for
mean, to
a
me,
while.
I'm not saying all of his stats.
Nah,
are empty.
He's a better passer than what he gets credit for.
No, he is. I'm not gonna say he is. I think I agree. I don't. I think he's a good. I think he's a good assist.
If you think Dame gets his teammates more involved than Westbrook, it's a good argument. But I think I don't agree. But I'm just saying I can't argue because some people feel as though the supporting cast prior to Paul George that. Westbrook didn't maximize the guys around him.
Defense,
you know,
I don't
give all Portland success to Dame. I think CJ's been big, and I think Terry Stotts deserves a lot of credit because he coaches
coach.
A team that other organizations might not want. He actually got Plumlee paid Mason Plumlee.
Yeah, for the Nuggets, right?
Yeah, and look at and he's improved him as a player. I think Dame just right now. You know, hitting all the big shots and carrying that team to a win. The focus is going to be on him. No, Dame has been good since he came to league.
I know.
Dame probably got off to a quicker start in his career than Russell did. But anyway, I don't want to spend just
be on Dame.
Yeah.
So second round matchups, the next round games, put it that way. Which matchups intrigue you the most?
Second round, which is now.
Yeah, it's like a quarter. It's like a semi. It's like the semis, but still.
Yeah. For me, it's definitely Golden State, Houston.
Of course.
No, yeah. I mean just
no. That's your fair. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, you just look what Golden State has done throughout the season. They haven't played to expectations. They haven't played at that killer with that killer
the
instinct
time,
that we
the
saw. But then we see Houston, who started slow but turned it on later on in the year. So I think that's what makes a compelling matchup to me. You kind of see a team that's somewhat vulnerable versus a team that you know really has. It's kind of pissed off considering how things ended for them last year.
No, I agree. I think that when you look at you saw the Heat within game one with Houston and Golden State. I look at it like you know James Harden was complaining about calls when we talked about it. You know, beginning the show. You know, James Harden and Chris Paul complaining about how they weren't getting foul calls, and I just want Chris James Harden to play real basketball. He's just too talented of a basketball player. Just play real basketball.
I
man.
Told you that about two or three years
yeah.
ago.
I mean,
when he did all, you know. And listen,
so
I understand.
Too,
like he's talented and he's manipulating the game in his favor to get those calls from referees. But at the same time, like referees need to enforce the rules
and understand that
he's initiating.
And I will say this though, this is the difference. This is why he struggles in the playoffs. Those same regular season calls you don't get in the playoffs. That's why he struggles in the playoffs because they're gonna let you play. If you even watch the Milwaukee Celtics series, like Giannis will try to play Shaq bully ball and think he's gonna get the foul call when the Celtics play him back physical. He won't because this is playoff basketball. If you're gonna play physical, the referees aren't gonna reward you just because you get tapped on the shoulder because now you felt like you got fouled when you're initiating contact.
Wally, when we watched New Orleans lose. in the NFC Championship to the Rams, yeah. would you say New Orleans was too focused on the missed call?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just been excessive with Houston. Yeah. They can't move past the referees, and that's a problem for them focusing on winning. And that's what has been written a lot about them over the last 24 hours is just focus on winning. Dame said it last night after the game. He said, we lost focus on winning because we were too consumed with the referees. It's a travesty. But I'm focused more so on Philly and Toronto after watching those first two games, seeing Toronto's length with Siakam and Kawhi and Danny Green on defense. It's a tough matchup for Philly.
Yeah.
Philly's going to have to play extremely hard every game, and they're not healthy enough right now, I don't think, to win a series, but they're talented enough to.
Yeah, you can't beat Toronto. I don't care game two was something else. It was a different game. Ben Simmons scoring 6 points, Embiid scoring 12. That's not going to beat Toronto. You already see that they have no answer for Kawhi. Like, you know this. Like, 45, I think the other game he had, like,
35.
Yep. You have no answer for Kawhi. Like, he's going to get his buckets 24/7. And that's going to be the situation throughout the series. They're losing the series. If he's going to be that dominant, they're losing the series.
We'll see what happens when they go back to Philly.
We'll see. All right, Ed Frankovic will join us to talk about the Caps being eliminated from the Stanley Cup playoffs after the break. You're listening to Urban Sports Scene.
Break time!
The Aegis, you dig. Deuces.
I knew you were about to do so.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
My bad.
With Will T, Ray, and Wally.
Off the cuff with Urban Ray. Join me live.
Oh, my God, Ray.
Every Tuesday during commercial break.
My man. Right now, we have WNXT's Capitals insider, Ed Frankovic, on the line. What's up, Ed?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Going to be a long summer.
Hey,
Ed, man, I was sorry to hear about your car, man. What did you do? Did you get a hotel room in D.C. after game stuff?
Actually, I lucked out. You heard that. Actually,
what happened? Wait a minute.
I lucked out. One of the off-ice officials was a couple of streets over from me up here in Ellicott City, and I was able to catch him before he left and got a ride home with him.
Wow.
And then another off-ice official took me down to my car in the morning. So, that was a rough one. The game ends at 11:31. The guy says the garage is going to be open an hour after the game, and I get there 35 minutes later, and it's locked up.
Hey,
that
man,
happened to me before.
I know. That's why I'm laughing. But see, that's the email to Ted. We got to work on that. We got to get that fixed because the Caps always make the postseason, and they always play sometimes. They usually play at least second round. So, yeah, we got to get that fixed. But I thought it was interesting how you tweeted that out, how the season ended and how what happened to you afterwards. And I was like, wow, it just felt like the team experienced bad luck. I actually texted Wally during the first overtime. It was about 3 minutes left. I'm like, two shots on goal, four icing penalties. And I'm looking at these guys. They look winded. I'm like, Wally, I don't like the feel. I don't like the energy of the team right now, man. What did you think?
I wasn't happy at all with the way the coaching staff handled that game or most of the season. I felt like they overplayed the stars all year and didn't bring the role players along. I don't understand why he kept going to three lines in overtime when it was pretty obvious that Ovechkin had no legs in the overtime. I mean, Ovi gave everything he had in the regulation. He really had nothing left. I don't understand why he didn't put the fourth line with DSP and those guys. I mean, at that point, they're probably faster than everybody else. So it's just an inexperienced head coach, an inexperienced staff. I wasn't very happy with the defensive coaching this year. I really feel like the defensemen took a step backwards, most of them, after 4 years under Todd Reirden. They came a long way, but Todd Reirden moved to head coach. And you bring a guy up from Hershey who's a rookie to coach because really when you make this decision – to not pay Barry Trotz, there's nobody on the market. You don't really have anybody to choose from. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for some changes in that coaching staff. I really think that Todd needs to make some changes with his assistants. Hopefully he has some a better pool to choose from, and we fix that. But there are a lot of coaching issues. The power play was certainly a disaster. It got into overpass mode, which led to the goal that got Carolina back in the series. Now, that's not to say Mr. Holtby he definitely shoulders some of the blame, because he had probably his worst game seven I've seen him play. The first goal, he just can't allow, and then the third goal, he's way off his post. He gives up that weak goal to Jordan Staal. So just a lot of things went wrong. The injuries, obviously, to Kempe and Oshie didn't help. We know other guys were banged up. But still, they should have had – Carolina had injuries. They should have had enough to get by Carolina. And it's a major opportunity loss when you're looking. Tampa's out. Pittsburgh's out.
Mm-hmm.
I think Boston and Columbus are both strong teams. But you definitely had a pretty straightforward pass to the Eastern Conference Finals. And now they're golfing.
Hey, Ed, I'm watching the game here locally. You can hear the angst in the commentary. So I'm like, let me flip over to NBC just to get away from kind of – because I'm kind of nervous myself. And it's immediately stated that the Caps look like they're skating on quicksand. They look out of shape, and they're not clicking. What do you think about that statement, you know, from a more unobjective, you know, commentary on your national NBC station?
So is that that's what NBC said in the overtime, that they looked like they were skating in quicksand?
That's what they said, and they looked like they just weren't clicking because they looked out of shape.
Yeah, I don't know if they were out of shape. I think they were definitely tired, and again, I go back to the management of the ice time all season. Mm-hmm. You know, there were several games where I look down and I see the fourth line's playing about 6 minutes. A guy like Andre Burakovsky, who had a very good game seven, is a playoff performer. He actually started coming on in January,
yeah.
And I would have liked to have seen him bumped up more minutes earlier in the season. I really felt like the coaching staff didn't allow Andre to maximize his contributions, because he's a very good player. I could see his confidence coming back. We saw what he did on that first goal in Game 7. But again, here's a guy who's not getting the ice time. And I don't know if just Todd felt more comfortable riding his top guys, but at the end of the day, you can't play John Carlson 27 minutes a game all year. You can't play Alex Ovechkin 23 minutes, Tom Wilson all these minutes, because those guys, they were out of gas in the overtime. They gave everything they had, and you have to spread the ice time. You got to use your full bench, and I really feel like that was where the mistake was made. I would have at least had that fourth line out there every 5 minutes in overtime just to spell the other guys. And I'll tell you what, those guys had fresh legs. You never know. I mean, Peter Kalima sat on the bench for two overtimes back in 1990, hops on the ice and scores a winning goal. San Jose last week against Vegas, they put the fourth line out with 18 minutes in the period. Those guys score a goal. I mean, you have to use your bench, mm-hmm. especially when the game could go on as long as it was. And it was pretty obvious. And you could really see it up in the press box. Maybe Todd couldn't see it down on the ice, but you can really see it up in the press box how slow the game had become and how exhausted that top line was.
So you mentioned Coach Reardon, Trotz and the Islanders. They advanced in the playoffs, and actually, you know, they're playing the Hurricanes, and I believe they're down in the series. But still, would Trotz have beaten the Hurricanes with this Caps team? I know it's hard to say.
I think if they had the same coaching staff they had the previous year, they beat the Carolina Hurricanes.
Okay.
There's no doubt in my mind. Mm-hmm. I think there were some guys in that locker room that did not play up to their potential. I don't think the coaching staff the year before was Barry Trotz, Wayne Lambert, and Todd Reardon.
Yeah.
That was a fantastic coaching staff.
Yes.
You drop out, you move Todd to head coach, and maybe, you know, maybe you can make the case that Todd's a good head coach, but you have a massive drop off going from Reardon to Cashman at the forward coach. And then I think you have a big drop-off going from Lane Lambert to Scott O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Scott's been around the league a long time. He's worked with Alain Vigneault. But I was a Lane Lambert guy, and I saw Lane Lambert develop a lot of these players. And so I think – and then not to mention, you had Mitch Gorn floating around as well, goalie coach. Look what he's done with the goalies up on the Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Scott Murray's a very good goalie coach, but you still had Mitch Gorn in there providing advice. And again, Braden Holtby was a factor in Game 7. He did not play as well anywhere near his level of play. So I put a lot of this loss on coaching, certainly. And you can blame the fatigue, but I think
fatigue was a product of an inexperienced staff that didn't manage the ice time, didn't spread the minutes around enough during the season. So they really need to look at that. They really have a lot of work to do in the off season. I would like to see some changes on the coaching staff, not a head coach, because I actually like Todd. And obviously they've invested a lot. They think he's going to be a good head coach. But they've got to get some better assistants around him.
Well, Ed, it's going to be a long off season. Thanks, like you said. Well, thanks for coming on. And before I let you go, please let our listeners know how they can catch you on social media and what you got going on for WNXT.
Well, you can catch me at Ed Frankovic on Twitter and WNXT.net. My blogs are out there. Of course, there won't be many blogs because there's no hockey to write about. it's tough, you know, going from winning the cup to getting knocked out in the first round. But that's hockey. We'll see if these guys can learn from their mistakes. The thing that upsets me the most is Alex Ovechkin and Nicholas Backstrom were all in and really had outstanding years. And they're going to be another year older.
Yeah.
And they had a good playoff. And they played well in the first. They played well in that series, too. That's the sad thing about
it. Blown opportunity, man. Mm.
Yeah, I don't think you could take anything away from Ovi,
yeah,
Nicky, and Tom Wilson. I think those guys gave everything they had, maximum effort, maximum performance. But there's a long list of guys who didn't step up. And that's disappointing.
Right.
Especially if we'll start with Kuznetsov. I just didn't think
Kuzi,
he was engaged all year. And I think that was a function of the coaching staff changing over, because I really think that Coach Trotz and Lane Lambert really knew how to handle that guy.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Ed, thanks again. We appreciate you.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on. All the best. And, you know, we'll talk soon. And we got some big golf events coming up, so I know you guys are Tiger Woods is going to be at Bethpage here next month. I'm really looking forward. That's what's on my radar now.
I see. You went from hockey to golf. Okay, sounds like a plan. Thanks, Ed.
Yep, I'm into golf mode, man, just like the Caps.
All right, thanks, Ed.
There you go.
Take care, man.
Take care. Ed's had the Caps going fishing.
A lot of what he said to us, he posted on Twitter, man, and it's knowledgeable, man. I tell you, I appreciate him. But yeah, he did post that he got locked out of the garage, man.
It's happened,
and I know it happened to you before.
Yeah.
That's why it jumped out at me. But good dude,
very good dude. But we're going to talk more about the NFL draft at the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Take nobody ask when we on live, dog. You listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T. Right here, Wally.
Hey, check. You ain't taking nobody, right?
Hey, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com.
Oh, man.
It's a great show, man. Will's my brother. That's my dude, bro. The Arizona Cardinals took Kyler.
You ain't taking nobody.
The Arizona Cardinals drafted Kyler Murray with the number one draft pick and decided to trade Josh Rosen to the Miami Dolphins. Did they make the right decision?
Only time will tell.
Yeah, I know, right? If they put a lot invested into a rookie coach who couldn't win that much in college football.
Yeah, you invested, but I mean, look, if you really think that Cliff Kingsbury is your guy, you showed that he's your guy because you went out and got the quarterback that he desired, even though you drafted the quarterback last year and you gave up. But
No, I'm thinking about what Lex said about the previous Arizona coach. He said he don't know what he's doing.
Oh yeah, Wilkes.
Steve Wilkes.
He didn't know what he was doing.
Carolina, former Carolina coach.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've obviously, these guys are kind of tied at the hip, you know, for the next 3 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's up to Cliff Kingsbury to maximize Kyler Murray's potential and maximize his talent and put him in the right situations.
The boy can ball. That's all I know.
I mean, no, but
in the right system.
Yeah, in the right system. Look, if you think about it, there are only three quarterbacks that can fix things for, you know, along your offense, right?
Yeah.
There's Russell Wilson, there's Cam Newton, and there's Aaron Rodgers.
What do you mean? Like, if you're in the offensive line, you can kind of work around it.
They can still work around it. If the run game isn't working, they can still freestyle and they can make.
You gonna leave Matt Ryan off that list, bro?
What about Big Ben? What about Big Ben? He freestyled.
I mean,
he made a lot of wide receivers money.
I don't think that's true.
I'm just saying. To me,
he's more of a sitting duck. Matt Ryan gets rid of the ball. I don't care what you think, but. I don't agree with the Cam Newton. Just because he's mobile, I don't agree with that.
Look at what Cam Newton does.
He wins, though, man.
Look what Cam he does.
I'm not saying he doesn't win, but he still needs a decent offensive line.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Like, versus Aaron Rodgers, don't have no blocking sometimes.
Aaron Rodgers can freestyle some stuff.
He can stall time. To me, those are three, and you may
complete. Russ definitely. Russell Wilson, too.
No,
you think so? I think his O-line has to be good. Like, his O-line
has to be good. He does,
but the O-line still has to be a certain.
Maybe you could put Patrick Mahomes in there 2 or 3 years from now.
Yeah, definitely Patrick Mahomes down.
So you think Kyler Murray is going to be part of that group?
I do. I really do. His ability to move in and outside of the pocket.
Yeah.
Make deep throws.
In that system. We're talking about this system. We don't know what he could be in that system.
He's got a cannon.
He has an arm.
He does.
He's accurate, too.
I mean, he's actually a baseball player.
Yeah.
It just messed up because Pat White was kind of like him, for real.
Yeah.
I just think
he's a baseball player, too.
I think that times are changing, you know what I mean? And Pat White, his size was knocked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And to me, Kyler Murray is a right-handed version of him with more better accuracy, maybe. You know, we are Pat White fans.
I thought Pat White was accurate. His bombs were accurate to me.
If you think back, that was the same draft that Matt Ryan came out and Bill Parcells was running the Dolphins and he took him at the top of the
I think the biggest difference now versus then
is the influence of the college game spread in the NFL. Game. Yeah. Right? Like, yeah. Before coaches. Organizations, you had to fit into the mode of what we're going to do. You're going to run my system.
Right.
Now it's the NFL coaches and front office. They've gotten smarter and they've said, okay, we invest in a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
We're picking to this guy. We're going to mold our offense around him, all except for, you know, the current franchise who didn't do that with RG.
Yeah, well, because of the coach. Well, that's a whole different thing. Yeah. But Joey, say like Joey Hamilton, who played with Georgia Tech. Like, he was a smaller quarterback, was accurate, had more of a, like, that's freestyle game. Actually, he was a better passer. He was a good passer, too. But no one really accepted him because he was short. You know what I mean? Now people accept, you know, it doesn't matter if you're short. Because now you're looking for examples like Russell Wilson. Even Drew Brees is short. Back then, you know, you had to be the prototypical quarterback.
Charlie Ward.
Let me ask you this.
Charlie Ward was definitely a good one.
Not to take this thing all the way left and go racial with it.
You can't.
The biggest, I mean, I was listening to a recording of the draft, and when Washington selected Haskins,
yeah,
and one of the biggest knocks on him was his mobility. Wasn't mobile.
Oh, that's
mobility.
You know what it is?
He's overweight, though. That it has nothing to do with his race. He's overweight. What do you think? A black quarterback's supposed to be fast?
This is it. This is my issue. This is my issue. The only difference, not even being fast, you got to be quote unquote mobile. So the only person that I feel like that hinders this argument, because I've talked about this before, is James Winston. The James Winston's the pocket passer. He's not really the like Kyler Murray. But when but my issue is that when a white quarterback is immobile, But when a black person, it's like you look at him like it's a unicorn. He's not mobile. Yeah. Like then it's like, okay, that's a downgrade in your draft style, because you're not a mobile black quarterback. You're not a mobile black quarterback.
You don't fit the
exactly. Seriously, like yeah, Daniel, like Will said, like Daniel Jones, he's not a bad athlete, but he's about, if you look at speed, he's not, him and Haskins aren't far apart, like in mobility. You know what I mean? So, but they're not saying, well, Daniel Jones isn't mobile.
Can you manipulate the pocket?
That's the most important thing. That's the most important thing.
Because the knock on Peyton Manning coming out, Peyton Manning wasn't mobile, but he could manipulate the pocket.
But he was always, a guaranteed number one pick.
Of course, because he was like a coach on the field.
Supposedly, that's what happened.
If you had to find a weakness, that was one of the glaring ones, and was mentioned.
No, I agree. I know what you're saying. It's not about being mentioned, but it's knocking your stock. You dig what I'm saying? Yeah. Everyone mentions your negative attributes in the draft. They mention all of it. But to knock you down, like, yeah, that hinders black quarterbacks.
I still don't feel like the Big Ten today is what it was when we were in college or when we were in high school, where you're playing almost NFL-like defenses.
But you're not doing that.
So because one of his greatest attributes or strengths that going into the draft was, he dominated the Big Ten.
Who, Haskins?
Yes. But I still don't think
Kyler Murray was dominating. If you use that argument, what was Kyler Murray dominating? Because the Big 12 defenses were terrible. They're worse than Big 10 defenses.
Absolutely.
They're the most atrocious defenses.
Well, see, Kyler Murray is based on his ability. It's not based on who he plays.
That's what I'm saying.
Where Haskins is based on, you know what, this dude went, whatever their record was. They only had one loss, right?
Yeah. Per
12-1, 13-1 against Big 10 defenses, you know, which is supposed to be.
But their defense is big. You do it. You have Iowa typically up there in defense.
I'm not saying the defense.
Michigan.
No. Good defense. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Not what I'm saying. I'm just going off of, you know, what's been said about him and how it's been consistent. And I don't think the race thing factors in. But I hear what you're saying. People sound shocked that he can't run.
But you don't. You're not knocking.
I still don't feel like it's that big of a factor in.
But you're not knocking. Look at Daniel Jones. A lot of people say
that's not why he dropped either.
That's one of the main reasons he dropped. Because again, you're looking at the body
Daniel
of work.
Jones got drafted not because he was white. Because
no, Daniel Giants Jones got drafted. But no. I'm not talking about that. Not saying that. I'm just saying no. Not great tape. His tape wasn't that good.
He was coached by Dave Cutler.
That's the only reason why he got drafted by the Giants. Because there are a lot of executives that would have took him in the second round.
Absolutely.
I'm not knocking.
Right.
I am not saying that Daniel Jones for that. I'm just saying the knock on a lot the people. When people are scouting Haskins and how they knocked him down in the draft, they don't use the same measurables for other quarterbacks. And I mean, when I mean other quarterbacks, I mean white quarterbacks. If you guys say he's not mobile, that's the thing. He threw 50 touchdowns and 7 picks. He was accurate, 70%
accuracy is always talked about.
Yeah, but they made it seem
you have to find a weakness when you're evaluating somebody. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. But who do you all think had the best draft? I thought the Patriots had a good draft. I thought the Patriots had the best draft.
No one knows who had the best draft, because you know why?
I've said this
for the last 2 years. None of these players have gotten on the field yet.
Do you like Atlanta's draft?
No.
Why not?
Why not? Yeah.
You use 2 first-round picks on offensive linemen.
But don't you need
No, you do, but I think I can name you some offensive linemen who aren't first-rounders who are ballers. I just feel like you could improve your defense. That was the problem. The offense is always fine. Do you notice that? They score points.
Mm-hmm.
It's the defense that can't never stop anybody. That the reason why Atlanta can't get over the hump. When they lost the Super Bowl, injuries definitely last season, sure, but I'm talking about over the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
When they lost the Super Bowl, you have a 25-point lead entering late in the third quarter. and your defense can't hold on to that. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's against Tom Brady or who it is. So if you're going to improve, you got to improve on defense. So and this was a great draft for defense.
It was a great draft
at defense. The linebacker position, oh at God. The DB position, and I
Greedy Williams out there for me.
How do we know it was a great? Draft
well, I mean, off of potential,
the talent coming
potential.
Out.
Okay.
Potential. Is that better
the
for you, Rotty?
To get you fired.
Yeah, potential. Man, most, I mean, we're talking about the draft. You draft off potential. You do your job. You do your
come on now.
And whatnot.
In the NBA, a couple years ago, when Ball was part of that draft, Tatum, the term great was used. It's a great draft class, right?
Yeah.
And now, does that even look like that? No. I mean, Lonzo's career ain't turned out to be. De'Aaron Fox is a standout.
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox is a standout.
Tatum is obviously.
Well, he had a bad year.
Donovan Mitchell. But other than that, you can look at guys like Malik Monk and what's the boy from Kansas? Josh, what's his name? Jackson?
Josh Jackson.
A lot of guys. Dennis Smith Jr. A lot of guys that were in that draft, this stacked draft, aren't even necessarily having the careers that people thought so far. So, yeah, I see where you're coming from. But coming out, we deem that a great draft. Nothing wrong with that. And I think you can do the same in this one for defense. Daggone it.
All right, Armand Lee for the quarterly report will join us after the break to talk about Canelo Jacobs. You listen to the Urban Sports saying.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces. And with the local DBC news, Edo Kuje with a triumphant comeback. For a solo. But tonight, don't call it a comeback.
Talking again, right? You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray, Will T, and myself, Wally.
Nobody that Ashburn.
You still on that?
No, it's the quote of the show.
I know, man. I was looking out for him, man.
I'm not going to mention a fight that's not going to take place like Will said. But
right now, we have host of the Quarterly Report podcast, Armand Lee, on the line. What's going on, Armand?
Hey, what's going on, brothers, man? How y'all doing?
We good, man. Bro.
What's up?
All right, Armand, you know, it's Cinco de Mayo Saturday night. IBF middleweight champ Daniel Jacobs takes on WBA middleweight champ Canelo Alvarez.
The Zone, you got it?
How do you have? Oh, do you have it?
No.
I don't have, you know, I don't watch.
No, you can get it for free. You get a free trial.
For real?
Yeah.
My man.
You get 1 month free. That's what I plan on doing.
Black folks.
That's what I'm talking
about.
Culture. Hey, Armand, how do you have this fight playing out?
Well, first off, man, I hear y'all taking the shots at the Zone, man, but hey, they got the game on lock. I think that there's been some reports that they are either close or they're reportedly trying to get NFL Sunday tickets, and you can kind of see how they're aligning them. Yeah, man. And if they get that, the entire pay-per-view model in terms of boxing will change forever. So I'm with them, man. I'm with them. And I'm definitely with the fight on Saturday, man. Cinco de Mayo weekend is one of my favorite sports weekends or sports events of the year because, you know, a big fight is happening. And I'm just excited that, you know, we've had a lot of should-be fights, you know, and a lot of fights that are close to happening. But in the middleweight division, man, you get two of the best. Canelo, you give him all the credit in the world. He gets to the ring and he fights the best. You know what I mean? With the exception of the Charlos, we'll see what happens in the future. But, you know, Danny Jacobs, man, he's got one of the best stories, not just in boxing, but in sports. And you guys remember his fight versus Golovkin a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of controversial. A lot of people thought Danny won, even though Golovkin dropped him. So I'm anticipating a really good, a really entertaining fight. Obviously, Canelo likes to exchange. And Danny's not necessarily the biggest punch in the world. But he gets in there and scraps if he has to. But ultimately, I like Canelo to pull this one out.
Hey, go ahead. My bad. Go ahead.
I want to take it back to a statement that you made at the beginning of this interview. You said the Zone streaming is the new pay-per-view. I'm taking over for pay-per-view. Do you think this fight is being hurt because of the lack of promotion, because it's on DAZN, opposed to it being on pay-per-view, where if it was on pay-per-view, you would have a lot more media coverage, and this fight could potentially be crossover if it's promoted right into pop culture, because it's a fight that's on Cinco de Mayo, and it's between a Mexican and an African-American, which traditionally are like one of the biggest rival, you know, boxing rivalries as far as matches are made.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's tricky because Canelo has such a built-in audience. Obviously, you know, Mexican, or Cinco de Mayo, excuse me. He's the biggest star in Mexico. He's the biggest boxer in North America, in North American boxing. So he's got an audience that I do believe will, if not travel immediately, they will cross over at some point, right? So in terms of, like, large-scale crossover appeal, I'm sure that these numbers will take a bit of a dive relative to previous Canelo fights. And obviously, this fight is, I mean, outside of these two Golovkin fights, right, this Canelo fight is one of the better fights that he's had in recent years. Again, not including the Golovkin two fights that preceded this. So to answer your question, I do think that having a new upstart streaming service could hurt the numbers. But Canelo is such a big-time boxing draw. It's going to hurt him. It may hurt him. If Danny were to somehow win this fight, obviously not all the eyes that would be on it would see it, but that then lends itself to a rematch. And of course, it's a business model of boxing. If Danny Jacobs were to win on Saturday, that rematch would do pretty big numbers. And again, it would just bring more eyes to the Zone.
Armand, it's Ray, man. My man Tank up in Baltimore, Tank Davis, he said if Canelo, I'm paraphrasing, if Canelo wins this, he should be considered pound for pound the best in boxing. Lomachenko doesn't have enough fights. Terrence Crawford don't fight nobody. What do you think?
I mean, you got to take. I love Tank. So I hope he gets whatever he needs to get together so he's more active. Anytime he says anything about Lomachenko, you got to take it with a grain of salt. I don't care what anybody says. Canelo could drop Danny Jacobs in the first minute of this fight. There is no way in hell anybody is a better fighter pound for pound than Vasily Lomachenko. I don't care.
You know, Max said it too.
We need more time, bro.
Man, Max said the same thing.
Boy, look. Go to Sicko. Again, he had to spit in the ring. That's any time. But that speech was not. Lomachenko fights everybody. Everybody. And the majority of them stop. They had a record for champions would quit. We just saw Donito Donaire, right? He's still hanging on this past weekend. Look amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing in another one of his return fights. Cam Morgenhouse, almost 10 years ago, we thought he ended Donaire's career. Rigondeaux quit. He quit versus Lomachenko. Lomachenko hit against everybody.
Yeah, Mikey, until he runs into Mikey.
Yeah, I want to see Mikey.
Until he runs into Mikey.
I do want to see Lomachenko take on Mikey.
Mikey took a beating. He's not losing to Lomachenko off of I'm going to give up. No, sir.
I do think there are some really exciting fights, right, to be at with Lomachenko. Obviously, Mikey, you guys mentioned, I would love to see Tank, right? There's been rumors about that. You never know. Mm. But look at the fighters that Lomachenko has been. Russell, again, Walters, Rigondeaux. I mean, you go down the list, he's beating the best that's been put in front of him.
He can beat Tank.
And you know, when you compare that to all the other fighters who would be considered in the top spot for pound, I personally have Spence number two. But even then, Spence's resume doesn't stand next to Lomachenko. And the fact that Lomachenko, who does not have superior power, he gets fighters to quit without, like, knocking them out, like, without beating them up. It's just a mental beatdown. And that's something that we rarely see.
Team Al Heyman over here, so.
It's Team Al Heyman on this side. We Team Al Heyman on this side.
I mean, I'm mad at that. Again, Spence is my number two, but Lomachenko, man.
I hate Top Rank.
He's on a whole nother level.
No, Lomachenko beast. I'm just mad that he's with Bob Arum. He shouldn't be with that dude.
Bob Arum
lying after Bud Crawford beat Khan, lying that Al Heyman ain't about that life in terms of making things work.
So I love Bud, right? Yeah. And I Wally, you and I talked about this past.
Yeah.
I've become increasingly pessimistic that we never see a Spence Crawford fight, and that's unfortunate, but that's just kind of the reality of the sport. But I will say this. Take Spence and Crawford out of the equation.
Yeah.
Kent has to leave Bob Arum.
He's got to.
He's ruining one of the better fighters of this generation.
Yeah.
There's nothing over for him at that rank.
I'll say this, Amon. This is Will. I think if you look at the history of the last 30 years of boxing, the history of boxing, and we look at the biggest superstars, there's one common denominator. All of them started their career at top rank, right? In order for them, once they started to progress and they got the really the big fights, the major fights, they all broke away from Bob Arum because Bob Arum wants to keep all of the money in house, mostly. Do you think that the only way we see Spence versus Crawford is if Bud Crawford decides to leave Bob Arum?
Well, here's the thing, man. He just resigned. And one of the biggest issues we have with the – one of the reasons why I'm so pessimistic that we do see is several reasons, right? Last year, there felt like there was some real momentum that maybe possibly we do see. But Spence and Bud started going on hate side. Like, who's on the hate side? At this point, Crawford has had two pay-per-views now. Two, right? Both of them have been done. Spence has only had one. And he had an extremely promising one. And if you look at just the way the welterweight division is laid out for Spence, he fights Sean Porter. They were smart not to make that a pay-per-view fight, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But if he takes care of that, he then gets the winner of Thurman Pacquiao. The Hogan would be a pay-per-view fight.
Yes. Yep.
So now we're And not only just a pay-per-view fight that would draw interest, right? Exactly. Because they were very smart with Spence, whereas Arum has been incredibly foolish with Bud. But even more than that, right? Spence is a big welterweight. And at some point, he will move up. And I think by the time he runs through Porter and Thurman, next winner, I think that's we're looking probably at 2021 at that point. I don't see him staying down at 147 for so long.
Preach.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Arum is messing up the church's money. He is.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Seriously, like, he's not
even. I feel for Bud, man.
Yeah. He's not even booking them correctly. Like, pay-per-view, put him on two pay-per-view fights. Even if he wanted to fight Spence, this is my problem. Even if he wanted to fight Spence, even if Aaron wanted to make it work. Now, well, Aaron is really about trying to see if he can make it happen. You lose negotiation power. Because, again, Spence is sold out Texas.
Exactly.
And Bud hasn't got the opportunity. Bud's pay-per-view buys hasn't done well. And that's because of what Bob Aaron has set him up with. Like, why even put him on pay-per-view when he's not ready to make that type of money?
50-50 split? You're crazy.
Yeah. I will say this, though.
Spence just said the same thing.
I think one thing that we do forget when we talk about fighters and setting up these huge matches, the promoters work. The promoters work for the fighters.
True that.
So if the fighters really want these fights, if they say, I don't give a damn what you're talking about.
Yeah, I agree.
Then the fight would get made.
I agree.
But I believe that Spence was keeping it real. He's like, I'm getting every belt, and then I'll take on Crawford. But he's like, I'm going to knock off Sean Porter next.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the next belt, and then I'll go after Crawford. Crawford's just saying, that's what I want now. But I don't believe that
you're gonna negotiate
they're about that life over in Top Rank.
Yeah, I mean, who in their right mind was going to spend that much money to see Amerikan get beat up by Terrence Crawford? Like,
of course.
Because the way that fight ended makes it even worse for Bud.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. I was saying the same thing.
That fight, when you do a risk-reward, it was a negative, obviously, mm-hmm. in terms of the buy. Bob Arum and Top Rank, they're so embarrassed by the number. They hadn't even been an official number. But then you have to factor in what the opportunity cost was, because the people who did spend $70 to watch that mess, they're not satisfied customers. Whereas when you pay money to see Spence and Mikey, even though most people knew that Spence was going to win, most people were surprised at just how dominant Spence was as a ring kind of master. Like, his boxing prowess was shown on a display that we haven't seen before. So you at least came away saying, okay, wow, we saw something new from Spence that we didn't know he had. But that whole thing was a mess. And the future of Top Rank pay-per-view is, man, it's looking scary hours out here, baby. I don't know what's moving forward, man. But I don't know. If I'm Bud, I got a lot of questions for Bob.
Yeah, I'm with you. AR Mound, before I let you go, let our listeners know about, you know, quarterly report and also your next podcast, and also how they can catch you on social media.
Absolutely, man. Every Thursday, each and every Thursday, check me out on the Quarterly Report podcast. That's Quarterly Report. Check it out on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you listen to pod. And then on Twitter, man, hit me up at Quarterly Show, again, Quarterly Show on Twitter, or Armon, Armon _ Lee. You know, we like to have a lot of fun, man. Sports, entertainment, the whole nine, man. So check me out Thursdays on the Quarterly Reporter each and every day on Twitter, bro.
All right, Armon. Thanks, man. We're going to chat about this fight when it goes down.
Absolutely, brother.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, my man.
Yes, sir.
Again, that's my man, Armon Lee, host of the Quarterly Report podcast. Appreciate him for being on, man. He knows his boxing, just like my man Will T.
Thanks to all our guests today.
Yeah, man.
Dope show. We went over time, but we had to.
Yeah, we did. It was a dope show.
I know. I mean, one segment you could have shortened, but I'm not going to go there.
This dude.
Hockey was the shortest one. Will.
Yeah, man. Hockey was the shortest one, man.
I didn't say hockey. Did I say hockey?
I'm thinking you were implying that. But hey.
I'm not. Okay, but okay. Once again, it's been real. We appreciate anyone who decide to listen to our show, whether it was live. Yeah, you made a conscious decision whether it was live or if you decide to listen to it from a podcast. Thanks again. We're sports fans just like you all, and peace.
You've been listening to the Urban Sports Site.
It's Bob Arum.
You're supposed to say for ages. You're supposed to say for ages.
For ages.
You did.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, leave us out big, homie.
Change our management over here.